It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Liz Reed, filling in for Paul Guggenheimer. When we hear news of Port Authority of Allegheny County service changes, it usually means we'll have to brace ourselves for cuts in service. But with the transportation funding legislation approved by the legislature and Governor Tom Corbett last fall, the authority plans to add more frequent service to some of its busiest routes. The changes take effect on August 31st for 22 bus lines. Here to explain what went into the route expansions is Jim Ritchie, Port Authority of Allegheny County Communications Officer. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start out with just a summary. What are some of the more significant changes that we're going to see as a result of this?
Sure. As you mentioned, there are 20-some bus routes that are going to see some enhancement in their service. A few of them, though, definitely will stick out, and especially if you're a rider of one of these lines. And these are what you might call our heavy hauler type lines. The 51 Carrick is one of those routes. The 61 series routes, the ABCD routes, these carry a very high number of a large number of people every single day. And they're always crowded. If you get on in the morning, if you get on the afternoon, the evening, it's crowded. It's tough to find a seat. You're often standing. And a lot of times you might have to wait for the next bus. You might get passed up. So if you're a rider on one of these routes, the 51 or the 61 series, 51 is the Carrick route. The 61s all go east out through Squirrel Hill and down towards the Mon Valley in some cases. You're going to see a significant benefit. On the 51, for example, we're adding 11 weekday trips. So every single day that there's 11 more trips into the system, that just adds capacity, it adds room, and it's going to make it more comfortable for people who are enduring that overcrowding today. It also, hopefully, will start to attract people back into the system who might have left.
So let's talk a little bit specifics on that route you were just talking about. Adding 11 trips per day, does that increase the frequency then? Are the buses starting earlier? Are they going later? What is it going to look like for the rider?
That's it. It's basically, as a rider, you're going to be looking at the schedule for the time of day that you ride. And you're probably going to notice that there's more trips available during that period of time. So if it's the morning rush hour, for example, you might notice an extra trip or two. And that means it's going to give you more options, first of all, to get to where you're going when you have to leave the house to catch the bus. And it's also going to mean that you might not have to wait for that next bus to get onto a bus because there's more capacity into the system. And also, as I mentioned before, if you're somebody who might have left Port Authority system altogether in the past because it was just so inconvenient, so crowded, and you were tired of waiting for a bus, it might cause you to rethink that and might try again. And with these kinds of numbers, that is, it's more frequent. It's not as inconvenient, not as crowded, and it might be enticing.
So in addition to many routes getting extra trips, some of the routes are going to be expanded. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, sure. In the mix, there are two routes, the 75 and the 93, that are actually being extended a bit. And they're both sort of unique situations. On the 93, we're switching that route. Right now it gets dispatched from our East Liberty Division, and it's being transferred to our West Mifflin Division simply because East Liberty is very crowded. But as a result of that, it's coming from a different direction, and it's traveling through the Hazelwood and Glen Hazel Greenfield area anyway. So we're basically just opening the door sooner for passengers since we're traveling through that area anyway. And it's a tremendous benefit to people who live in those communities who want to get to places like Oakland for jobs and education opportunities. They won't have to travel downtown first. And on the 75, the Morningside area, we're basically switching the end of the 71B route, which currently travels through Highland Park and then crosses the Allegheny River to the Waterworks area. And that route has a lot of on-time issues and overcrowding. And to try and address that, we are switching the end, that last segment from Highland Park to the Waterworks over to the 75, which creates an added benefit for people who currently live in the Morningside area, for example. And it hopefully also will help the on-time issues on the 71B. So it's going to have maybe a double effect there, and we hope it'll improve both situations.
What were the factors that went into the decision to make the changes, both like the specific routes and wanting to do the expansion altogether?
Basically, this is all a benefit of the new funding that transit and transportation programs are getting statewide. All a benefit of Act 89, which was passed last year by the state legislature. What that does for Port Authority is it stabilizes our system for many years. So for the next several years, 8 to 10 years, hopefully, that's the target anyway, we're going to be able to maintain the system we have and add some enhancements to the current route structure. And the thing we want to target first and foremost is these bus routes where we're seeing the worst overcrowding. These are the worst problems. These are where we receive the most complaints about these routes in the system.
So are these complaints coming from riders, from drivers?
Both. We hear it obviously from our employees, the operators who drive the routes, and they can tell us about it. Riders, of course, through customer service will call in and complain. You can see it on social media as well. But now, maybe for the first time ever at Port Authority, we're able to use raw data too. We can look at data and figure out how many people are getting on a bus at a stop, how many people are on a bus at any given time, how many seats are on that bus. And so we can identify those peak periods where that bus is horribly overcrowded versus a bus where maybe there's one person standing. These routes, we're talking about a bus where there's maybe as many people standing on a bus as sitting.
What are the, I guess, problems when you have that? Are there safety concerns? Obviously, it's uncomfortable, but are there other concerns?
Well, safety is always a concern. But I would say with this, it's more a matter of the rider experience. It's how many people are going to want to get on a bus if it's you're packed in there like sardines. You really don't want to do that. It slows down the bus if somebody in the back is trying to get off and they have to make their way up to the front and the bus has to stop and wait for that to happen. It slows everything down. And so it can cause delays in the system, which inconveniences people not only on that trip but maybe on waiting for the bus up ahead.
So an expansion of this magnitude is pretty unique. When's the last time we saw something like this?
It hasn't happened since I've been at Port Authority. I've been there a little over 5 years now. But if you look at our recent history over the last decade, Port Authority has gone through this horrible cycle of not having enough funding, having its own financial issues with pensions and healthcare costs, which we've tackled in recent years. And so we've been cutting back. And as you cut back, you lose people. You lose ridership. Lost ridership hurts your opportunity to increase your funding. So it's a cycle. It's a really ugly cycle. And people start to lose faith in the system when they don't know, is this route going to be here next year? And they find other options. They find alternatives. And it's hard to get those riders back into the system. So this is really a first in recent Port Authority history, and it's a good change of pace. It's good to be investing in the system for once.
I was going to say it must feel good for you as the spokesperson to be coming with good news, to be talking about route expansions instead of cutting routes.
Absolutely. It's a nice change of pace. It is a positive, and we hope to do a little bit of this kind of improvement each year going forward.
What are some of the challenges that come along with making these kind of changes? I imagine there was a lot of logistical, things that came up as you were trying to figure out exactly what these route expansions would look like.
Obviously, the biggest challenge we have is what routes do you pick? Because we can't pick every route. There's not enough money for us to just go pick every route and be able to sustain the system we have for the next 8 to 10 years. If we threw all the money we could possibly get our hands on at the system today, we'd run out of money much sooner, and then we'd be back in the same horrible cycle that we were in the first place. So we want to be smart about how we do this. We want to improve the service we offer so that we not only help the riders we currently have, but also attract new riders back. And so the biggest challenge for us was to identify the routes that needed this kind of improvement the most, knowing that we couldn't do them all. There's other routes out there that have issues that we could probably tackle as well, but we can only do a little bit at a time.
So I guess what percentage of the total routes that you guys have does this represent?
We've targeted for the budget year that is just now starting. We're on a July through June fiscal year. We've targeted about a 2.5% increase in the service hours that we provide. So it's a very nominal amount. When you start adding up trips on a route like the 51 or the 61s, it's very significant. So for riders in these areas that are experiencing these problems, these changes are going to be very noticeable.
Have you had to purchase new buses then at only 2.5%?
No, this doesn't affect the fleet size, and it doesn't affect fares. The fares are going to remain in place this year as well, but it's going to be a significant change there. We just want to be smart each year going forward with how much we can add back into the system, knowing that we can't just go back and restore all of the routes that have been lost over the last several years.
So how does this fit into an overall plan for public transit in Allegheny County?
Well, the first step of the plan was to stabilize our funding and to get our finances into a place where we're more efficient. We've cut costs, and we've done all of those things which really led up to that statewide approval of Act 89. None of that would have happened if we hadn't tackled our cost structure in the first place. So that was the first piece, and that was huge. We wouldn't be talking about this today if that didn't happen. From here on forward, it's all about what kinds of improvements we can make to the system service, but also other things that riders can use. And there are other things we're working on right now, such as adding a real-time system that will help riders figure out where their bus is. If you're standing at a corner and your bus is 2 minutes late and you're starting to wonder, is it coming? Is it right around the corner? Or is it 2 miles away? Is it not coming at all?
Or did I get here minute too late? Was it a minute early? You know, yeah.
And so a real-time system can help answer that question for you. And if you have another option to get where you're going, you know, maybe it's another bus route that's down a block or two, you can make that choice. You're going to have that information. Other enhancements that are in the works, we have a wayfinding program that's now going into place, and this is going to be brand new for our transit community because we really don't have wayfinding signs in our system to help people use the system. So,
what do you mean by that?
I mean, if you're trying to get from downtown to the North Shore and you've never been downtown and you've never been to the North Shore and somebody says, oh, you just take the T, where is that? How do I get there? How do I ride it? Is that a bus? Is it a rail? Where does it take me? Is that close to the science center? I have no idea.
Right. So public transit in a new city can be very intimidating.
And that's it. And we think if we make that simpler and easier and more obvious, that more people might try it. So this kind of signage improvement within the stations, within the city, in these key areas to help people figure out, oh, I'm here and I see on the map, this is how I get there. Well, then they'll do it. They'll try it and it'll make it very obvious.
So you're talking about enhancements. Any additional route expansions that might be on the horizon, or should we be satisfied with this for now?
Well, for now, this is a pretty good set. It's something we've not been able to do in the past. And I would expect that we're going to try and tackle something like this each year. We did some rail enhancements in June, so those already occurred. So we're doing both bus and rail this year. And, you know, we'll talk more about next year as time goes on here. There's obviously a lot of needs in the transit system, and people really like transit in Pittsburgh. They want a lot of things, and there's just simply not enough resources to do everything everybody wants all at once. So it's going to be an interesting discussion. and certainly a very community-involved discussion.
Well, we look forward to that discussion. We look forward to these new expanded bus routes and everything else that's coming up at the Port Authority. We've been speaking with Jim Ritchie, Communications Officer for the Port Authority of Allegheny County, about expanded bus service. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, Pitt Communications Professor Jerry Schuster helps us read between the lines of political campaign messaging. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.